My name is Tom King. I write Dick Grayson for DC Comics. And like everyone who loves Dick, I love the Court of Nerds.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, once again to the Court of Nerds podcast, the podcast celebrating its 2.375-year anniversary. I'm Drew.
I'm John.
We are brought to you by Grand Rapids Comic-Con, coming to you from the DeVos, October 20th through the 22nd. Get all the details you need at grcomiccon.com. We have guests in the studio today, which makes it an extra special day whenever Gavin and Dee from Tardy stop by.
I can't believe I'm a guest. I feel very special. I mean, I don't know why you guys keep inviting me back or letting me in this building, but
we like you.
Well, they keep letting me in this building because I have a key card and they can't stop me. So, and sometimes I have to work here. But we're going to talk to you guys. We got the 38th anniversary party for Tardies coming up on Saturday. We've got new Lego sets coming out for John and Gavin to nerd about.
Yay!
And of course, we'll talk about what's going on right now in the world of comics, DC versus Marvel, how Marvel keeps doing terrible event after terrible event, and maybe how some of these lesser brand names like Black Mask, Image, and even our friends at Project Shadowbreed are really changing the way people are buying their comic books. But first, it's the news.
The news. Let's start it off again. Hello.
Hello.
Following is courtesy of Brad Bevert. Sorry if I screwed your name up. Via Box Office Mojo. It's going to be a Wonder Woman heavy news day because all this is fantastic about this movie. So, Wonder Woman exceeded all expectations this weekend, delivering an impressive $100 million opening, the largest opening for a female-directed feature, vastly outperforming the previous record holder, 50 Shades of Grey, which debuted with $85.1 million back in 2015. Wonder Woman is the first female-directed feature to achieve such an opening, and as far as female-led comic book adaptations are concerned, it is by far the largest opening as the second closest in Paramount's Ghost in the Shell, which debuted with $18.6 million earlier this year. Catwoman, previously, was at $16 million. In fact, Wonder Woman delivered the 16th largest opening weekend for a comic book adaptation all time. It is the sixth largest opening among that group, and if you don't count sequels, and based on estimates, the sixth largest June opening all time. Looking ahead, given the strong word of mouth, it will be no shock to see it deliver $300 million domestically, or at least very close to that figure, which is fantastic. Beyond that, beyond the cinema score, the film played to an audience that was 52% female versus 48% male. 14% of the audience was under the age of 18, and 47% of the audience was over the age of 35, Grant Stoy. Internationally, the performance was equally strong as Wonder Woman brought in an estimated $122.5 million from the 55 markets, which includes a $38 million debut in China, bettering the openings of likes of Man of Steel, Thor, The Avengers, and Guardians of the Galaxy. It also has a solid score of 93% on Rotten Tomatoes, ranking it third highest on their list of superhero movies, behind Logan and The Dark Knight, which also have a 93 and 94 score, respectively. Original Iron Man has a 94%, but is ranked fourth. If you would like a spoiler-free review, please check out thecourtofnerds.com from our very own Grant Stoy's take on the Amazonian princess's origin story. And for all the latest and greatest in nerd culture, be sure to follow us at Court of Nerds on Facebook and Court_of_Nerds on the Twitters.
Because and that now, stupid Belgian TV show took our name.
It did. And we're going to kick Drew out for a second. So
wait, what the hell?
So get out of here.
You going to kick me out?
We're going to kick you out. Gav,
I was like the ringleader.
Gav and I, we're going to
need some time.
We're going to go. Whatever.
We need some ourselves
we're
time.
We're going to go John show real quick.
Yeah. That's right.
But we want to talk a little bit about the Wonder Woman, and so we're going to timestamp it because this might be a little spoilery. Overall reaction, what'd you think?
Dude, I fucking loved it. I thought it was fantastic.
As did I.
Everything was shot very well. Like, everything was really beautiful. The storyline moved at a decent clip. It was like something that we hadn't seen from DC for a long time, if ever. I mean, everything was coherent. There's not big plot holes where you're like, but But if you've got Deadshot killing everybody, why do you need Harley Quinn to hit people with a hammer? You got, like, everything that made perfect fucking sense, you know? Like,
yep.
Excellent movie.
I thought it was fantastic as well. I thought the editing was great. The only thing that still bugs me a little bit, and it's because Snyder had his hands in it just a teeny bit, was the slow-mo, which we talked about before.
Yeah.
But it still worked. It still worked. The strong women in that, Robin Wright, I loved her character.
Oh, she was,
she
fantastic.
Was fantastic.
Yeah.
All the supporting cast was fantastic as well.
I really can't poke any holes in it. I mean, like, there's nothing in it that I'm like, yeah, it would have been the best if it would have done this, not this. But I was like, this is excellent all the way through, you know? Like, Chris Pine I wasn't quite sure about. He did really well, too.
And the chemistry between him and Gal was phenomenal, too. And in the beginning, it was so funny. Like, just like the... Oh, I can't even think of the word I want. Like, just the little stuff that they did, like, what's that? And it's like, oh, it's a watch.
Yeah.
Like, you knew exactly what they were talking about.
Yeah,
but,
that's right.
And they just made it, they made it comfortable.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. And, I mean, how many DC movies have we watched where it's like, I really want to like this. I really want to tell everyone that it's good. And almost when you're leaving, you got, like, Stockholm, like, it was great. It was really good.
And I don't know if they did it in your showing, but in my showing, when she did her debut of the suit, more or less, when she climbed into No Man's Zone, everybody just kind of cheered. Like, hell yeah, here we go, it's about time. And then she just kicked some serious ass.
It was amazing.
She didn't let any, she didn't let anything down.
Well, we saw the trailer for this in San Diego last year in July, and I was like, wow, that looks fantastic. And this entire time, people, because, you know, I work at a comic book shop, so comic book people, God bless them, sometimes they're not the most positive. Everybody that would come into the store, not everybody, but a lot of people would come in and just be like, I don't know, man. I don't know about Wonder Woman. That looks like, I don't know if Gal Gadot can do it and all this shit. And now it was nice to just be like, yeah, I told you people it was going to be amazing.
When I said this in my little review that I did after the movie, and I'm going to quote myself and then retract my quote and say, besides Linda Carter, we all know she's Wonder Woman. We
right.
get that.
Yeah.
But I said, when Robert Downey Jr., we noticed that he was Iron Man, he is Iron Man.
Oh, yeah.
For right now, in the DCU, I don't see another person being able to pull that off.
No,
she did fantastic. And for being a model and actually putting on some muscle for this role, she looked good, she filled the suit out, she... Her acting could probably be just a teeny bit better, but, I mean, like I said, I mean, you want to poke holes into it, go
yeah,
ahead, but,
right.
like, you really can't. Like, she starred in Batman Superman, her role in that was, like, a savior for that movie, and
Absolutely.
Then she totally made herself shine in this one.
Absolutely.
Like,
well, and
she did it.
The thing that I'm curious about now, since this was such, like, a redemption piece and they did such a good job with it, I'm starting to kind of wonder, like, not that I really doubted the Justice League and like the casting and stuff, I'm really interested to see like how well the guy who plays the Flash, because everybody's like, well, I can't think of the guy's name,
it's Ezra Miller.
He does a fantastic job, like excellent on TV show. A lot of people are like, well, why not just make that guy?
Oh you mean Grant Gustin on the
oh,
TV show?
Okay, yeah, the guy in the
Ezra
TV
Miller
show.
Is in Justice League.
Yes,
the
okay.
movie, yeah.
So the guy who's on the TV show, Grant
yeah.
Gustin,
mm-hmm.
Everyone that I heard from was like, why not just make that guy the Flash, you know?
And he is good.
He is, he's great.
But I would like to see another version of Flash, because a lot of people will say, like, with Arrow, Stephen Amell, like, he's Arrow, but I would like to see an older goateed Arrow.
Dude,
you know?
That's what I've been saying this whole time. I mean, Stephen Amell is the Arrow. I want Ali Quinn, Queen Green Arrow, Longbow Hunters, you know,
yes.
like that style. You know, I don't even know who they'd cast, but man, that would be really cool to see.
But we're going to bring Drew back in here. We're going to stop talking about Wonder Woman.
I get to come back now. Oh, you're so gracious.
We definitely recommend
so
it.
Welcome.
Go see it. It's a fantastic movie. Reads Grant's articles. I just added an S to everything because I screwed up the first one.
He's always got the things to say that, Grant.
The things is. So I'm going to let you guys, how's this, guest choice?
Oh, shit.
Do we want to talk about the 38th anniversary party next, or do you and John want to talk Legos?
Let's go Legos, then anniversary.
Perfect. We'll save the big finale for last.
Aha.
Yeah, that's right.
John, you were all ready for this one.
Well, I'm kind of ready because nothing's really been super announced except for, like, The Last Jedi sets. Prices have been announced in euros.
Right.
So it's going to be the most expensive sets we've seen yet from Star Wars franchise.
That just means they're going to be the coolest. We know that.
I know. And from what I know, the three largest sets from the Brick Show that they've announced but haven't announced are the big Star Destroyer ship, which I like, but I don't like because it's all gray pieces.
Right. It's going to be a long build with not a lot of texture to it.
The new AT-AT, it looks more like a gorilla. It has more of a wider stance, so you can't pull the good old six times around trick, trip.
Look at them learning shit.
And then I don't know what it is, but it looks like the new big ship, like at the end of Jedi, that Ackbar is driving in the new movie, where you see those big kind of ships going by. I think that's gonna be like the big one.
See, and I haven't looked into any of this yet, but man, I am so excited.
But I want the ship that crashes into the red. Yes. I want that ship into the red planet. I want maybe some sets where we haven't seen yet, like a new planet.
Absolutely.
Anything like that, I'm totally kosher with.
Well, you know they can't announce any of this crap anymore because the internet just grabs a hold of it. And it's like, spoiler for the movie, ha-ha!
Exactly. No, you're right. And apparently some of the toys are going to... Snoke is going to be... A minifig, and it's gonna
maxi fig,
exactly. So they're gonna, it might like reveal stuff that they don't want to, and you know they release it too early anyway because they completely ruined Kylo Ren's ship.
Oh yeah,
it wasn't even close to what it was.
Right,
it had these extra tail fins and the wings didn't go out, and so whatever they're gonna do, hopefully they actually called Lucasfilm and were like, hey, what's the ship look like? Or what's it going to be doing in the movie so we don't screw it up again?
Hey, what is this actually going to look like so we can make a Lego that looks like the thing?
Exactly.
So kids can be happy.
And so, I'm excited for that. And to tell you, it's a little side story. I splurged and I got the Slave One.
I heard this from somebody already. Yeah, I'm very excited to hear.
I splurged.
I may have talked about your birthday present from you to you.
To me, yeah. I drove all the way to Detroit to go to the Lego store.
Holy
and
shit.
Pick it up myself.
How big is that thing? Have you built it yet?
It was built that weekend.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
It took about 9 hours.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
I was going to time lapse it, but I was like, 9 hour time lapse? I can't stitch them together because I'm not computer savvy. So, but yeah, it's huge. It's about 23 inches tall on the stand.
What the fuck?
It's massive. It's like one-to-one scale to the minifigs almost.
That's
like,
awesome.
It's fantastic. It's really cool.
Now I want one.
But that's the Thanks, Lego John. Talk, I guess.
That's Lego talk.
That's
yeah,
Lego
I know.
Lego talk.
I just love letting you guys go and Lego talk, man, because it's not my world. I'm not going to lie to you. It's not, you know. I'm ADHD, so even as a kid, Legos were too much for me. Like, the little tiny sets with, like, 20 pieces and you get, like, a minifig, like, that's my stuff right there. But making the massive stuff that you two are into?
Yeah.
Dude, my brain cannot handle the idea of following instructions for that long.
Well, that's what me and Dee's big thing is for, like, the winter when it gets all shitty out, when most old couples, I guess our version of old coupling is sitting around and doing Lego sets instead of, like, doing crossword puzzles. Like, fuck, we're going to do, you know, Darth Maul's tomb. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, I do puzzles and stuff in the winter.
Yeah.
Like, so whatever, if I don't want to destroy one to rebuild it, because that makes it even harder.
Yes.
When you take it apart and you don't have bags and you're searching,
mm-hmm.
It takes forever. Because I smashed the Millennium Falcon and had to rebuild that.
Oh, no.
It took forever.
Were you running around in the house going...
Well, it was dirty, too, so you had to clean the pieces and everything. And I'm like, this is going to take forever.
Yes, it is.
You have to
cares.
Clean the pieces?
Oh, they get gross, dude.
There are parts of this that I don't understand. There are Lego parts of your world that don't make sense to me.
Well, when they sit, they get dusty. They collect dust. And if you're not on it all the time with that dust, it turns into that heavy set dust that you can't just wipe off. That you actually have to scrub.
That
to,
caramelized dirt shit.
It's it's like the your grandma have those cookie tins on top of her cabinets. You ever take one of those downs and it just kind of peels off from the kitchen?
Nah, man, it's my grandma. The cookie tins didn't sit long enough to peel.
Touche.
Yeah, right. You've met my brothers too, dude. We're not small people.
Well, the empty cookie tins. Oh my God. Anyway.
Listen, we are the Court of Nerds. Be sure to check us out, thecourtofnerds.com. Hanging out with Gavin and Dee from Tardy's Collector's Corner right here in West Michigan. And you guys, well, not you guys, the store is turning 38 years old.
The store is turning 38. Yes, absolutely. It's been going since 1979, which is fucking ridiculous. I mean, we've been doing this for, we've owned the shop for coming up on 2 years, and that's like, holy shit, if we can do this for another 2 years, I will be excited. If we do it for 38, I don't know what I'm going to do. My heart's going to fall out of my chest. Like, this is going to be ridiculous.
Your heart's going to poop its pants.
It really is. I'm going to have a poopy pants chest pus. So, you know, not great.
Okay. So in the past, you guys have done kind of an outdoor event for the anniversary, but this year it's going to be at the shop.
Yeah,
right?
we're doing everything at the store this year. We're not doing the picnic outside. We're going to really blow it out, God willing, that we make it the 40th anniversary. But this year we're just chilling. We're doing it at the store. But instead of spending all the money doing the big outdoor thing, we're just going to give away a lot more stuff and have way better sales in the store. So
I saw you announced a couple of them today.
Yeah, we're going to be doing one a day. Like we've announced so far, we're going to do 40% off back stock, and that'll include our Silver Age stuff, our modern stuff, our magazines, anything that's basically bin stock for comic books, we will have 40% off. And then today we announced 30% off any of our action figures or statues or loose in package, any of that kind of stuff. Funko Pops, all that kind of stuff will be 30% off.
Giant Indiana Jones posters.
Yes, giant Indiana Jones posters.
Whoa. If there was ever a day, John.
Yes, absolutely.
I know.
That thing dwarfs you, man. Like, that thing is huge.
I would stop talking about it on the podcast all the time if I were you. Eventually, someone else is going to go in there and be like, I've been looking for this forever.
He doesn't have it.
I had one guy come in. For people who haven't been in the store lately, we have a giant 4-foot by 6-foot Italian Subway poster for Raiders of the Lost Ark. Original. There's no rips in it. It's beautiful. And I had one guy come in and was just drooling over it, but just did not want to pay for it. He's like, $50. I'm like, I can't, dude. I'm sorry. It's $55. No, no, please
add
leave me alone. Yeah.
To that, and maybe.
Please just leave me alone. Go away, sir.
What are you doing?
It's really cool. I would recommend checking it out this weekend.
But not buying it so that John can buy it.
That's right. Yeah. Just check it out. Just look at it.
Just look at it and be like, wow, that's going to look really great in John's room with a Subaru flag. So you guys are also going to be giving out some treats and some goodies.
Yeah, we've got, I'm not sure what all we're giving away for door prizes yet, but we're going to do some door prize giveaways and stuff. But we also have cool commemorative anniversary pins and stickers. We're getting some enamel pins made. I don't know if they're going to make it on time for the anniversary. These people are dragging their feet on it, but they look amazing. If we get these in, I'm going to be super geeked beforehand. If not, just come by the night week after, and we'll have cool enamel pins for Tardy's.
Well, there we go. It's another reason among the many reasons to stop into Tardy's.
Absolutely.
Because I love coming into your shop.
Thanks, buddy.
Because it feels like you're stepping into an old-school comic shop that's run by people who know how the hell the world works.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, it's not like a lot of the old-school, musty-smelling comic shops that you go into where they're like, that's right. I remember when Archie's cost a nickel and it was a dime for the Batmans. No, you guys are in there. You're always talking to customers. Everyone who walks in knows you. Like, I stopped by for your birthday.
Yeah.
You know, and happy 29th.
Thanks. Yeah, that's it.
What'd you bring him?
I brought him some nuts.
Oh.
For his mouth?
Drew's nuts are the most delicious thing I've had in my mouth, and I don't know how long. They are so spicy, but man, when they hit the back of your throat, oh, just finished.
Ladies.
Sweet little kick.
Oh, I could only eat two at a time, but man, fucking delicious. God.
We're going to have to edit out me laughing in post.
Nah, we'll keep it on. Good measure.
We don't edit.
We say we edit.
I got the
post.
I got the nut sweats right now just thinking about it. Man, my mouth is watering.
He's having some nut flashbacks.
If you just go up to Drew and be like, hey, man, I heard about those nuts, and those sound delicious. Like, my mouth is open wide. I'm ready for them.
Oh, my God.
At least one person's going to now, and it's going
to
be great.
At least one person is going to walk up to me, because I will be stopping out. John, I'm sure you'll come with me. We'll go Saturday. Go to Tardy's. Go to the 38th anniversary sale.
I mean, I got a bachelor party.
Oh, boobs.
We're going to try.
Oh, boobs are so much better than comic books. I see how it is.
Yeah.
Speaking of comic books, and let's delve into, you know, this world right now. We'll get back into something I can actually fucking talk about.
Yeah, right? Here.
Let's start with the big two.
Yeah.
Because there's a problem with rivalries when they're one-sided.
Really?
You know, Ohio State versus Michigan. Yankees, Red Sox, DC, Marvel.
Oh, dude, and it's bad right now. Like, don't get me wrong. I still enjoy Marvel as a company. I still enjoy a lot of their characters. But, man, like, as far as everything that I've seen from DC, they are just smashing it. And, I mean, they don't have no plans of stopping from what I've seen coming rolling out. Batman Metal and the casting and all that stuff, you know.
Everything, they're basically, the thing that DC does so much better than Marvel right now is find great creators and trust them.
Yes.
You know, they basically, and it's kudos to DC for realizing that the last time they were great before Rebirth was when they gave Geoff Johns the reins of the entire fucking line.
Absolutely, you know, and I mean, look at, Geoff Johns has this weird ability to just take characters who nobody cares about anymore and turn them into people that everyone loves. I mean, look at Green Lantern. When Geoff Johns got that book, Hal Jordan was dead.
Hal Jordan was a bitch.
He was a bitch. You're right. He was a dead bitch.
Yeah, Kevin.
Ooh, damn.
By the way, if you want to check out Kevin's Green Lantern power rankings, go to thecourtofnerds.com. He definitely porks Hal Jordan right in the shorts with those rankings. You son of a bitch. I will find you in the woods. I will find you, and I will go Leo and the Bear on you. You know what I mean. Anyway, sorry, that's a whole separate issue.
You're
that we're
good,
going
but you look at the beginning of that run when he picked up Hal was the Spectre, and that's all he was. And by the end of it, there's seven new cores. There's a fistful of new enemies. There's all of this new mythos that Green Lantern, like, this is like quintessential Green Lantern stuff. He did it for, what, 6 years?
Yeah.
I mean, just dominated it for 6 years. There was no Sinestro Corps. There was no, you know, Red Lanterns. There was none of that kind
There's
of
no
stuff.
There's no Spectrum.
Right, at
like,
all.
Like, now we think of all of that. And, yeah. And he, you know, you've now have these new badass Lanterns of Earth, and you've got all of these new characters. Geoff Johns basically not only rebuilt the world, he then expanded it into the cosmos.
Absolutely.
I mean, he did what Abnett and Lanning did for Marvel for Cosmic.
For Annihilation, yeah.
Yeah, just rewrote the script and flipped it on its head. And now they've done the same thing with Scott Snyder, where they're like, Snyder, dude, you are killing the game. Who else needs to come kill the game with you? He goes, oh, you need to get me fucking Tom King.
Yep.
You need to bring in Mitch Gerards. Let me have Jock do stuff whenever we can afford to pay him. And you know, Jock's Batman stuff is just boner inducing.
Dude, I'm still, that is probably one of my prized possessions, is I own an original page from Jock, from Batman Black Mirror. That dude is so damn talented, it's ridiculous. And it's funny because he's so soft-spoken, too. Like, you sit there and talk, and you expect him to be like you're talking to, like, Azzarello or something like that, or Frank Miller or something, cup of coffee and, like, really fucking hardcore.
Kind
of
gnarly, yeah.
Yeah, super nice guy, just really quiet and really nice and really down-to-earth. I mean, Snyder's the same way, too, though, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Well, and that's, and I was going to say, we, you know, our graphic designer here at Court of Nerds, Jared from Things That Make Marks, is a big Mondo collector.
Nice.
And he ordered a Mondo Witches poster.
Oh.
And it kept getting delayed and delayed. And to apologize to all the fans for the delays, Jock and Snyder went through and signed 50 posters. Jared has it hanging up in his basement. I want it very badly. Yeah.
Absolutely.
But those are the kind of stories you hear about DC guys. You know, about Tom King, about Mitch Gerards, about Ben Percy, about Josh Williamson.
Absolutely.
I couldn't tell you who the fuck is writing a Marvel book right now.
Not really. I mean, the last thing that, I mean, like, I don't get me wrong, like I said, I still read Marvel, other than Nick Spencer. I mean, Nick Spencer is just everywhere on Marvel right now.
True.
Him and Bendis, I feel like, are writing, like, half their books over there.
Yeah,
right,
I was going to say Bendis because Kevin here hates him, and that's the only reason why I know he's writing Marvel books right now.
Is Brian Bendis, and I mean this non-disrespectfully, because I used to love Bendis' work.
Me too.
Like, is he a guy who just Rob Liefeld himself?
I think what it is Marvel just, they're like, hey, Brian, what do you got? And he's like, oh, I got this. And every single time you go to that well, it's not going to be genius. And especially if you're going to that well 9 times a month, you're not going to hit gold every single time. I mean, like, it's going to be like, all right, well, Captain America went and got coffee. It was really cool, you know? I mean,
there's 17 pages of him talking to Jessica Jones in a diner.
Right, you know? I mean, it's a lot of dialogue. I can write dialogue, you know, fantastically. So
right, but Brian Bendis can't write an action scene for shit.
No, not anymore.
And he doesn't do, you know what he does so poorly that is now so essential in comics? Long-term planning.
Yes.
Well, I mean,
that's what DC is killing it with. Look at, I mean, it's been a year right now since, you know, we got a little glimpse that there might be some Watchmen action happening in DC, that Dr. Manhattan made everything and all this different stuff. We haven't even gotten full rollout even close yet, you know?
No, they're playing their cards right.
Yes.
They're launching big books at the right times, and their monthly and bi-monthly stuff is hitting.
Oh, yeah.
Ben Percy has been fucking phenomenal on Green Arrow.
Absolutely.
It is getting up there in my favorite Green Arrow runs.
That's awesome, man.
You know, and it's a great book. Ben, our resident Flash fiend, has been jonesing over what Williamson is doing on The Flash. And not to mention, and I know I'm leaving them out because I'm talking about a lot of different things. I don't have a lot of specific information. The inkers, the colorists,
oh, yeah,
the artists. DC has it on lock, man.
Dude, so I don't know if you guys heard about the C2E2 Retailer Summit.
No.
So we got to go. It's a thing that just retailers get to go to. You pay X amount of dollars, and basically they feed you all day, and companies pitch books to you. And you're so used to hearing, you know, somebody in sales telling you, oh, the book's up 0.2% from last year or whatever, you know.
Right, and it's kind of boring, but you go because there's food.
Right, there's food, and they tend to give you free stuff. So it's like, all right, cool, we'll go check this out. So DC was up first, and I think that they did that on purpose. And holy shit. So they come up and they're like, all right, well, and it's the guy that's been moderating the whole time. And like I said, there's usually nobody big name there. DiDio walks out.
Jesus.
DiDio's there and he's like, all right, well, we're trying to own up to our mistakes and we're really trying to move forward and we're really trying to put the trust, exactly what you were just saying, putting the trust in the creators.
Let me pause you real quick. Own up to our mistakes.
Yeah.
Something Marvel will never fucking do.
Absolutely. I'm right there with you, man. And we'll come to Marvel here in a second, like after the DC. So he comes up and he starts talking about Dark Matter and the stuff that's going to be going on with that, which is basically creator-owned stuff. Not creator-owned stuff, but creators creating their own characters at DC. Artists and writers coming up with new characters and new concepts instead of just using the same stuff over and over again. So it's DiDio pitching. And we're like, oh, my God, it's DiDio. This is awesome. And then he's like, all right, well, these are going to be the main people behind Dark Matter, what's going to be going on. He brings out John Romita Jr., Andy Kubert, Greg Capullo, and Jim Lee. All four of those dudes walk out on stage. So it's like, good Lord, like, this is top-tier DC people. And they pitch the books to us instead of listening to some sales VP talk about, you know, like, we expect an expected growth of whatever, you know.
Who may or may not actually be a fan. It just could be a job to them.
Most
you know?
Likely not, you know. So, like, literally, it was like Kiss walking out on the stage with fireworks going off and shit, you know, like fucking rocking out. And, like, and at the end, it was like, all right, well, everybody gets a free ash can signed by everybody. We're out. Mic drop. Everybody fucking standing ovation. It's amazing. In this room with, like, you know, 500 vendors maybe. I mean, like, it was just ridiculous. It was fantastic.
Wow.
So they were the first of Marvel DC to pitch their stuff. Marvel's panel. All right, everybody, you got to put your phones away. Make sure that they're off because you're going to be blown away. We're going to be showing the first Inhumans trailer. They didn't show an Inhumans trailer. They had some interviews done by Jeff Loeb on the screen. That's about it. And the same, sales are up this and we're going to be pitching Generations coming up soon.
Oh, all super monotoned and
like boring salespeople who don't care about the product.
It's the same guy that they sent that said that, you know, the fans don't want diversity in their comics, and the same guy who, I don't even know if he's actually from Marvel, but he's the same guy that I always see at all these different, I mean, like, he's from Marvel, but I don't know his title, you know?
Right, you don't know what it is he does specifically.
Other than just puts his foot in his mouth a lot, you know?
So. And that basically describes Marvel as a company
right.
for the past, what, 3, 4, maybe 5 years?
Yeah, it's rough.
I mean, ever since Hickman left that company,
yes,
they have been in shambles.
Hickman left and Remender left and a bunch of their big hitters left to do their own independent books. And they've just got, I mean, they lost Tom King right as it was starting to go well for them. Like, Vision finally started to get some traction because nobody was reading Vision even when it started. It took 4 or 5 issues of everybody like you guys and comic book agencies and being like, no, seriously, you need to fucking read Vision.
Right, this book is fucking incredible. What are you doing?
Yeah, right. Like, and everyone's like, oh, the guy with the fucking dot on his forehead. Yeah, that guy. He's amazing. That storyline is excellent. Yeah. It's akin to Watchmen. Like, read it. And so when I talked to Tom King a couple of times, he was like, yeah, I'm kind of done at Marvel now. I'm heading to DC to just kind of do my own thing there. And it's like, oh, okay then, you know, so...
But Tom King, and I love that you talked about the independent, everyone leaving to go do their own thing.
Yeah.
Tom King started doing his own thing and then signed with DC.
This is true.
But,
absolutely.
You know, again, we at the Court, we love Sheriff of Babylon. And yeah. I can't wait for season 2 of that to come out.
Hell yeah.
You know, King and Gerard's might be, I mean, other than Snyder and Jock or Snyder and Capullo or Snyder and a pile of dog shit.
Right.
You know, my favorite.
Snyder, Kurt Francavilla.
Yeah, you know,
Snyder and me could write a killer book.
Snyder and Francavilla is just like.
It's amazing.
That makes my pants sticky. you know, that's I don't even know what to say about that.
I could draw a stick figure Batman and it'd be a and fantastic Snyder, Snyder story.
Wrote it, it would be unbelievable. It'd be excellent.
It'd be like a flip book.
Tear to your eyes. It's, like, it's beautiful.
But Snyder is even a guy who owns so much of his own work. I mean,
yeah.
Witches, American Vampire, AD, which I know all of us thought was unbelievably good.
Excellent.
And you know, that's going to end up being a movie. I can't wait for that.
Wasn't that pre-signed even before it
pre-signed,
was even done?
Pre-signed before issue 1 even hit stands.
Because why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
It's a standalone thing. You got 3 issues. You know, make that into a movie like now. Lock that down.
Lock that down. Make that movie.
And
sell the monies.
Right. Snyder and Lemire, easy yes. You
but
know?
We posted something on Court of Nerds about some of the new stuff coming out from DC or some of the new movies that were being discussed. And someone said, I'd rather see people start making movies out of Image books.
Oh. Yeah.
Image is putting out some of the best fucking books on the stands right now.
Oh, easily.
I mean, you know, Motor Crush is unbelievable.
It's funny that you bring that up, too, because everybody, you know, like we were talking about the big two. And in the industry, and like it's starting to work out even more, it's the big three now. It's not the big two anymore because Image is just, they're standing right alongside with everybody else, you know?
And Valiant is nothing to scoff at anymore either. I mean, Valiant has that movie deal with Sony, and unfortunately, Sony will end up fucking it up because it's Sony and that's what they do.
Yeah.
But Valiant's books are great right now.
And they're so customer faced. Like they do anything that they can. They've offered before, we've been at, you know, presentations and stuff, and they're like, if you need a Valiant rep to come to your store for the day and just pitch books to people as they come in, if you have a shelf that's broken in their store, that we'll send you a new one that's wrapped in Valiant, you know, like stickers and stuff like that. They're like, anything that we can do to help you sell books.
When they pay the highest per page to creators,
which is amazing too.
And it's a great company. I'm a big fan of Valiant. I love what they're doing. And you and I, you know, I talked about, I liked your face, like Black Mask.
Yeah, Black Mask is awesome. They do fantastic. 4 Kids Walking to a Bank. And did you read Pirouette?
I did not.
That's a weird clown girl runs away from home story. It's just a 3-part, but it's some of the best art I've ever seen on a book for, I don't know, for a long time. It's fantastic.
I got really turned on to Black Mask with We Can Never Go Home.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And I love that book. It's a little teen angsty for some people, but the payoff is just so good at the end of that.
I mean, that kind of goes hand in hand with most comic books, though. You know what I mean? Like,
there's going to be some aspects that you're like, no.
Right. And there's so much teen angsty stuff in there. You know, you look at Spider-Man, you look at anything, like, well, all the way back to that kind of stuff. You know, that's basically, and there's so many people that's why they buy it, because it reminds them of their youth, you know?
Takes you back. Oh, dude, the first 10 issues of the Archie relaunch.
Yeah.
Like, Mark Waid punched me in the feels so many times. I was like, oh, son of a bitch. I remember being sat in my garage like Archie Andrews.
How dare you, Mark?
How dare you make me feel my feelings? I think I actually wrote that in a review. But, you know, and I mean, even, like, I have girlfriends who have picked up Adam Hughes, Betty, and Veronica, and they're like, shit, but this is how girls are.
Yeah, right.
You know, I showed it to my 9-year-old son. He goes, that's a whole page of just talking.
Yup.
And I was like, that's what girls do, dude. Get used to that shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's a beautiful book on top of that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. That's my goal for this year, by the way, for San Diego. If I can do it, I'm going to get an Adam Hughes original sketch done.
He's so good. He's just so unbelievably good.
He's fantastic.
But I think the point we're trying to make here is there's never been a better time for people to start reading comics.
Well, and it's so funny because there's so many people that'll come in and they're like, I don't know where to start. And I'm like, well, what's a movie that you like? And if they can't, they'll hem and haw, I don't know. I'm like, here, check out Saga. Check out Rat Queens. Check out Seven to Eternity. Check out, Image is one of the most accessible things right now that people pick up and they're like, Birthright even. They're like, oh my God.
Tokyo Ghost.
Tokyo Ghost is fantastic, And really anything that they pick up, Low, any of that stuff, they pick up and they're like, this is amazing. Do you have more of this? And I'm like, only a little bit, don't go crazy, but stick with it. It's going to keep going,
Right. Well, and that's kind of the thing, I came into the shop with a friend this week or last week and she was like, oh my gosh, I need this. And you can even ask people, hey, do you like fairy tales? Cool, pick up Fable.
Yes, exactly.
And then there's 900 spinoffs. Like, you could read Fable for the next, 2 years.
Yes, exactly.
If you read a little slow and take your time.
Yes.
But there is something for everyone, and this is the biggest thing. Of course, we want you guys to go to Tardy's because we love Gavin and Dee.
Aw.
But go into your local comic shop and ask the people who work there.
Seriously, just go in and, hey, what are you reading lately? What's really gotten you going? I don't know if you guys are reading Redneck right now, but I just started reading that. Donnie Cates, he's doing a new book. Redneck, and he's doing Baby Teeth for Aftershock.
Okay.
And Aftershock, by the way, is another company that they're getting top-tier creative artists and writers on their own books. They just signed Donnie Cates. They just signed Garth Ennis is doing a book called Jimmy's Bastards.
Damn it,
Garth Ennis. I know. Have you heard about Jimmy's Bastards at all?
No, I'm going to have to go look it up now.
James Bond, basically, that sired a bunch of, bastard kids, and they all, want to get after their dad, and it's kind of like a Scott Pilgrim situation where they team up and start going after him.
That's phenomenal.
Jimmy's Bastards.
But written by Garth Ennis. I mean, so
it's going to be really fucked up.
Oh, real fucked up.
Yeah.
The boys preacher fucked up.
Yep. And go in. Ask about books. Ask about what's coming out. Go talk to people. Because the comic shop is one of those few places left where the people who work there aren't annoyed that you're there. It's not Kohl's, damn it.
Exactly. We're very happy that you're there because if you come in and spend some money with us, instead of like Barnes & Noble or something like that or ordering it off of Amazon, we see direct benefit from that. We see, you're making sure that we can keep doing what we're doing when you come in and buy something from us. Not to say that you, just come to the store and buy stuff. Not even saying that. Just come in and, if you see something that you like or I tell you about something that you like, check it out. Keep us in business. It's awesome.
Yeah. And you can get great Image collected books for $10.
Every single first volume that they do, I believe. I mean, there might be a couple that they don't. But, I don't know if you've seen the monstrous first volume, but it's monstrous. It's huge. I mean, because that first issue was massive for the $2.99 one.
Yeah. They launched it, yeah.
Yeah, because they want you to read their comic books. They're like, all right, well, the first one's 10, then you're hooked,
Now you're in.
That's right, now you're in.
So be sure to get in Saturday. What's the hours?
11 to 5.
11 to 5 Saturday, Tardy's 38th anniversary party.
Please come see us.
Go
miss
say
you
hi.
All so much.
Gavin and Dee are the nicest fucking humans you will ever meet.
Sure, we'll go with that.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
But they want your money, so go spend it. No, listen, and we wouldn't keep bringing you guys on if we didn't love having you in here, if we didn't know that you were such an essential part of the comic book community in this city. And Tardy's is part of the fabric of the comic book community of Grand Rapids.
Shit, yeah, we are.
Mark doesn't give you that center booth for no reason.
Yeah, shout out to Mark Hodges for help getting us a nice table every year. I really appreciate that, buddy.
Speaking of which, we are the podcast brought to you by Grand Rapids Comic Con, October 20th through the 22nd at the DeVos. I would be, and I hope you're okay with this, I do still have to mention the signing going on at Vault of Midnight
on Saturday. Of
course.
Are you kidding me?
Scott Weigman's one of my favorite local artists, a guy I'm a big fan of, a guy I used to work laser tag with at Craig's Cruisers.
Yeah.
Who is now designing one of the variant covers for Guar's Orgasmageddon #1. I intend to go see him and get that signed and then come over and have some cupcakes with y'all.
Dude, I got no hate for any of the other shops in town. It's hard enough to keep business going, you know, let alone like keeping a rivalry or some shit going. I love Vault. I love Comic Signal. I love, you know, I mean.
Rookies out in Lowell.
Rookies, Outer Limits, Argos. Go see Jim. He misses you. Like, Jim is fantastic.
I think Argos might have been the second comic shop I ever went into.
Aw.
The first one wasn't even a comic shop. It was Hofstetter's in Grand Haven. And I picked up my Archie books there.
Nice.
With my grandmama. Hey, Grammy, you never listen to this. You don't know what a podcast is. That being said, I'm Drew.
I'm John.
We are your shorthanded Court of Nerds.
Hey, I'm Ben with the Court of Nerds. Sometimes I say things with my mouth and write things with my fingers. You can find us on Facebook, we're the Court of Nerds, on Twitter at court_of_nerds, and our website, thecourtofnerds.com.